Three. Wait, I don't need to, we're not counting again, sorry. I'm really tired. Okay, here we go.
You can count down if you want.
Exemplary. So, Victor Victoria.
Victor Victoria.
Victor Victoria.
Who picked this again?
This was me. Yep. Yeah. The fourth in the line, so we'll all be back in the hat after this. Yeah, Victor Victoria. Anyone seen it before?
No.
Nope, never even heard of it.
No, okay. Me neither.
How did you come across it?
Well, two words, Julie Andrews. This Christmas, as I often do, watched both Mary Poppins and The Sound of Music. I haven't seen The Sound of Music for a few years. And I was just, in both films, I was just blown away by, I just remembered how brilliant she was and just how much I love Julie Andrews. And then I thought, for someone who's so brilliant and who I admire so much, I can't believe I've only ever seen her in two things. Mm. I wonder what else she's in. And I looked it up and I had heard of Victor Victoria, because it's a sort of a bit of a milestone for her career. But I didn't really know what it was about, and people said it was good. And I thought it sounded like a different side of Julie Andrews compared to those other films. So I thought, let's go for it. What did you all think?
It was good.
Yes, very good.
Very good.
I really enjoyed it, apart from two missteps.
Two missteps, interesting.
Two missteps that really aggravated me.
Oh,
otherwise it could have been a brilliant film, I thought.
You bring it out right now, or are we going to look forward to them?
Let's keep the whip round to the whip. Oh,
yeah, nurse your wrath to keep it warm. Claire?
I liked it. Yeah, I thought it was also really good. It was certainly good.
Yep.
I feel like I can be convinced as we talk that it's very good, because I forget bits of it already.
Excellent. It was a weird one. I mean, I just loved it. I thought that there were a lot of bits of it that just blew me away, but I wasn't quite sure why. There were bits of it that I thought were a bit boring or a bit sort of miswritten, but other times I just couldn't take my eyes off it. And some of the relationships, some of the performances were just unforgettable. And so I feel like I was willing to forgive it a lot, just for those flashes of brilliance. So definite thumbs up from me. But I feel like I need to watch it again before I really decide.
Similarly, so I wonder if we've overlapped in our bits that we think were miswritten.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I was never angry, but yeah.
No, I wasn't. I'm not really angry either.
So that was good from everyone.
Yeah,
but with some reservations.
No, it was good. It was solidly good.
Good. Cool.
Yeah, I'm good or very good. That's my hesitation.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, certainly good.
I've been listening to the soundtrack since. I must have
treat.
Like a couple of the best songs from it. I must have listened to like 5 or 10 times since we watched it like 4 days ago. Yeah, I really loved it.
I can only remember two songs.
Ah, what two can you remember?
The Jazz Hot song.
Yeah. Le Jazz Hot.
Le Jazz Hot, that's the one. The Jazz Hot song.
Also, baby, the Jazz Hot may be what's holding my soul together. Don't know whether it's more. Jazz hot, baby, 'cause I love my jazz hot.
Speak English, and the lady, the Seville,
the shady dame from Seville.
That's the one. Thank you.
Yep.
There was once a shady dame from Seville. Used to wander round the town dressed to kill. And men, if they dared, stood and stared when she away. The lady knocked them out. There's no doubt, 'cause they shout, olé, all day. Seville is
so that was her two big numbers as Victoria.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. Le Jazz Heart is the one that's been stuck in my head because it's quite catchy, quite jazzy, mm-hmm. and it's got that just that amazing vocal bit at the end where she goes up through like three octaves in one note.
But, is that from this film, that song? Because I knew the song.
I'd never heard it before. Ugh. Let's have a look. Yes, it is a song from the 1982 musical Victor
wow.
Victoria. There we are. it was all new to me. But those were not the two that stuck with me the most. And maybe we'll build up to which ones I like, because that's part of what caught me about this film. You like the music, Fernando?
Yes. I can't remember any song, but I'm going to say yes. I did not dislike the music.
Cool.
I agree with Fernando.
In all things.
Well, yeah. Some things don't need to be said, but I would like to specify it in this case.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of agreeing with each other this episode, I think.
Yeah. So, Claire, I've heard you express distaste in the past when we've watched musicals that basically have big numbers that are just like some people on stage singing a song that doesn't really go anywhere. And it occurs to me that was quite a few of the songs in this were just them singing a song that doesn't really move the
But they were diabetic.
There is that. They were what?
They were diuretic.
Diegetic.
Oh, what does that mean?
If I have that, it's when they occur in the context of the story. So, like, musicals would have numbers that aren't... Wait,
did you say diegetic?
Like, if someone's listening to a radio, they were part of the story. You know, they weren't just bursting into song for no reason. They were warning on a...
Yeah, they sang at times that people would really sing in real life.
Yes.
Yeah. That's actually all of them, isn't it? Yeah, there were no just random bursts of song.
No.
That's unusual.
Yeah, no, they were all moments. They weren't, like, pretending they weren't singing at any point.
Yeah.
I genuinely thought you said diabetic there. And
I thought you said diuretic.
What does that have to do with anything?
Oh, dear.
I just want more attention.
So I think a big part of it not being rubbish when they just do a song for no reason is whether or not it's Julie Andrews that's singing.
Yes.
I think that might be the deciding factor.
I think that made a huge difference for me.
I did not like it at the start when he was singing Gay Paris.
Aww.
Along the bank of the Seine, just take a walk now and then, you'll meet some interesting men. Gay Paris, along the Rue Madeleine, each evening round about 10, you'll see it time and time again. Gay Paris, if you've a soiree to spare, go to the Folies Bergères, you'll see such gaiety there. C'est la vie. Around the Rue des Beaux-Arts, where all the cabaret shows are. I mean, well, really, those are. You'll agree what they mean when they say gay Paris.
And I was like, this is stupid. What are we actually going to watch this? and then it got good. The Shady Dame one, I lost patience with. I feel like it went on too long.
Yeah, I got a little bored with it.
Although it was very impressive musically, I think. But I don't know, because, you know, anyone who can hold a tune is impressive. But I think that was particularly good.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much it. All the other times was Julie Andrews singing, which is a treat.
Excellent. Oh, she was good, wasn't she?
She's very good. Who do you prefer, Julie Andrews or Audrey Hepburn?
Julie Andrews.
Julie Andrews.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
That's very quick to answer.
Do you know about My Fair Lady?
Yes.
So you know that Julie Andrews was in that on stage?
Oh,
and
okay.
When they made the film, they decided to cast Audrey Hepburn instead, I think because she was like a more glamorous star or something. But you can listen to the soundtrack like on Spotify. You can listen to the original cast recording, and yeah, it's Julie Andrews, and she's just brilliant.
Yeah, just she would voice. Be better for that part. I think
it's one of the things that occurs to me sometimes. I'd love to go back in time. If I went back in time, I'd like to go to New York and see Julie Andrews in My Fair Lady.
What a waste of going back in time.
If I had just one, that probably wouldn't be it. But if I had all the time in the world, I'd go for that.
I want to see the Roman baths of Agrabah, thank you.
No, fuck that.
I'd go back and see Anthony Head in the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Great.
Also, I meant to say Agrippa, but I think he came out as Agrabah. But I do know that they weren't in Aladdin.
I didn't want to show my ignorance by being like, isn't that the place from Aladdin? But it is the place from Aladdin. Agrippa, wow.
Oh, Agrippa.
Yeah, so my two favourite numbers were...
Sorry, you go on. Your two favourite numbers, I don't know if Agrippa is.
I'll let you figure out
saying things,
where
Laura.
You're talking about. Agrippa was a person, right?
Yeah, he was...
But you could go back in time to see Agrippa, I guess. The second triumvirate, that's it.
Oh, well, he wasn't strictly part of it. But
the baths of Agrippa were a place. That's what I was. But he made it. I suppose they were names after the person.
I bet that's actual Agrippa who built them.
I can't believe Laura wants to just go back and see Agrippa having a bath.
He was Augustus's right-hand man.
I remember.
Cool. Relatedly, we also got to see Julie Andrews having a bath in this.
We did, but we didn't. We very delicately didn't see her getting into the bath, which was very, very dignified.
Yes.
I have absolutely no interest in seeing Julie Andrews' breasts, I have to say.
She doesn't wear a bra. Did you notice that? She took her top off and she wasn't wearing a bra. Oh. You could see her from behind.
Yeah, well, she had to pretend she was... sort of without breasts, right? I think she was like, did she have like a towel around her or something?
I think she'd bound them, yeah.
She
had a binding around
talking
them.
About strapping them or something.
Yeah.
Well, surely you'd have figured that out when he saw her taking off the strap, because she just sort of got undressed.
Yeah.
And she didn't have anything.
Plot hole.
In the box.
She could have been a man getting undressed.
Sorry, Mike, what were your two favourite?
It was the two numbers that she did as Victor. So she did Le Jazz Hot and The Shady Dame from Seville as Victor, as Victoria. But yeah, You and Me that she did
fun.
On the spot with Toddy.
You and me, we're the kind of people other people would like to be. Wandering free, we present the kind of picture people are glad to see.
Something I wanted to do all my life.
And we don't care that tomorrow comes with no guarantee. We need each other for company. What may you and me will stay together.
Was just wonderful, just the two of them sort of having fun together, and it really seemed to say something about their friendship, how they're sort of teasing each other, but they obviously love each other.
And walk this way.
Taught him everything he knows. That's why he has so little left.
Oh, I'll get you for that.
And me.
Very difficult step.
Oh, such a fuss.
This way, please.
Wandering free. Sorry about that.
Well, that was fun. Now what do we do?
You got us into this, you get us out. No guarantee. You're leaving again.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Leave each other for company.
And yeah, it did a lot there, because they sort of had to pretend that they were a gay couple, but gay couples at that time had to pretend that they weren't. So that it was part of her pretending to be a man, pretending to be a woman, all wrapped up was her pretending not to be in a gay relationship with him, but she was just pretending to be pretending. But there was just so much love and so much joy in the way they bantered and danced together. That was great. And then Crazy World, which was the one that was just sort of a big close up on her with the camera moving round sort of towards the end, where she's just in the suit as Victor.
Crazy world, full of crazy contradictions, like a child. First you drive me wild, and then you win my heart with your wicked art. 1 minute tender, gentle, then temperamental as a summer storm. Just when I believe your heart's getting warm.
Just such a wonderful song and a wonderful performance, and seemed to, it was maybe the one bit of the film that seemed to hint at something a bit deeper and a bit more of a meaning to this lighthearted sort of farce. It's, yeah, quite a sort of stripped back scene. Mm-hmm. I think it's like a dinner theatre place. Anyway.
Oh.
Yeah, it was just a slow song, but it was, the lyrics were about the crazy world she's in, and about having her own pride, even though she's sort of playing a fool and acting a part. And yeah, seem to maybe say something about being gay or about being being an actor. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I just couldn't take my eyes off her. She was so brilliant as Victor.
Mm.
And I don't even really know why. There's just something so compelling about her performance.
Yes, I agree. I can't believe one of your favourite numbers wasn't Chicago, Illinois.
Trendy travellers tend to talk London, Paris, Rome, New York, like only they were stylish and unique. But out in the Midwest is the city I love the best. A town so smart, its spelling starts with C-H-I-C. Chicago, Illinois is like a shiny toy. The very state is proud to state that it's pride and joy.
Chicago, Illinois. She was just awful, wasn't she?
I was quite sad when she turned up again. I was like, no, is it? You're back.
Norma.
Enjoyed her for the first while, but I was glad to see her gone, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked her, her just utterly swooning over Toddy and being completely unable to handle him being gay in the sort of the sweetest but stupidest way.
You know what I think?
What?
I think that the right woman could reform you.
You know, I think the right woman could reform you too.
Oh! Me give up men? Forget it.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
I it felt like she needed that song to kind of tell us that she's not just a talentless idiot. I kind of thought she was just there because she was like blonde and King Marchand took her, what's he called, Marchand?
Yeah.
Took a fancy to her. But she was kind of a, she had a certain magnetism and a certain energy that was quite something, even though it was so tasteless and annoying. It was quite nice seeing her have a moment on stage.
Was anyone else disturbed by the pubic hair?
I thought, wow, gosh, what a different time.
That is just too much. Never see that.
I mean, I liked it. You know, more and more pubes, please.
That should be our next theme for the film club. We'll pick some more pube films. I didn't notice
that's
the
just
pubes.
Rape season, Michael. We've done that.
Yes, we did that. Yeah, I thought you were just sort of scandalised, but yeah, it was just a specific objection you had, wasn't it, Claire? To the pubic hair.
It was just a real contrast with her costume. Just really, you expect them in a sort of like CD French film from the 80s, but during a big dance number.
It was great though because it was just so utterly over the top. And the fact that it was a song about Chicago and how she thinks it's better than Paris. Yeah. And the Paris people are so up themselves and all of the other songs are these really quite tasteful, quite nicely done songs in Paris.
Including Gay Paris.
Definitely including Gay Paris.
Love that.
That really won me over as an opening number.
Oh my goodness.
it sort of set the scene. It's like it's the 1930s, but you know what? There are gay people everywhere in this city and they're just like barely hiding. And I thought it was clever as well, cleverly done. And I really liked Toddy as well.
Yeah, he was great.
Maybe you didn't like Toddy so much, Claire.
Felt like he was a real caricature.
Really?
Yeah. Like the, I don't know, he was just a bit Biggins-y, a bit.
Oh, Biggins could have done it.
Yeah. Just the, I don't know, overdone campness to make homosexuality palatable.
Oh.
Make it something you can laugh at.
Do you think?
Care to mingle with me, Mr. Ty?
Miss Cassidy, excluding Victor's performance, mingling with you may well turn out to be the highlight of the evening.
I just love Frenchmen.
Oh, so do I.
I didn't think we were meant to laugh at him.
I don't know. It's just, I think I've seen too many people like that on like cruises and stuff. And then just hearing wide Scottish people making weird jokes about them more.
Yeah.
Feels like more of the Scottish people's problem.
Yeah, I think it definitely is. But I feel like that caricature has sort of enabled that in some way. Because remember, this is a character. This isn't like a person. I don't have an issue with the people if that is your personality. But it's the needing to play that character to make homosexuality palatable to homophobes.
To me, though, like, I didn't feel like it was too over the top. I felt like that I could see him being like, just that's just how he is.
Yeah,
he wasn't overly camp. He was just,
yeah. It's not like he had a lisp and sort of swaggered when he walked and that kind of thing. I thought they made him very, very warm, very likable. Yeah. I don't think I would have guessed that he was gay, except for the script. Like from the way he acted, sometimes you watch it and it's like who's the best friend in Will and Grace?
Jack,
who just is a
But those are very modern stereotypes.
Really?
Yeah, he was doing like all the limp wrists and stuff like that.
I don't remember now.
That like the people I grew up with would have used to identify someone as gay.
Okay. And he never stopped talking about being gay as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it is just because I've got bad memories of people being homophobic and it's kind of upsetting.
Yeah, okay. Did you find him likeable?
I liked him.
Okay. Because that's what made the difference with Julie Andrews' songs and with Norma singing Chicago, Illinois. A character that you find likeable, it can make a big difference. Okay, fair enough.
No, I liked him, but I don't know what it is. I'm struggling to articulate why it's bothering me.
There's a few things like that in this film that I struggle to put my finger on. Did you like Toddy, Fernando?
Yes. Well, yes. Yes.
Three times, yes.
It was fine.
There was a whale in there, which detracts from the enthusiasm.
So 75% sure, Fernando.
I'm 75% sure that I like Toddy. Yes.
Okay. Did you think he was stereotypical?
I do not know. I do not know. I just don't know. Claire thinks that he might have been stereotypical. I don't know. Does anyone else think that he was stereotypical?
I didn't, but I've just looked it up and the actor wasn't gay, which has changed my opinion.
All right.
Which means he was impersonating a gay person and doing all of those exaggerated sort of camp movements and things, which... I don't know.
Again, I didn't think he overdid it.
Neither did I, to be honest. I thought it was quite just a man.
Well, there is a book called How to Be Gay, and then I refused to buy it because I was like, how can you have a book telling other people how to be gay? Surely there is no right way to be gay. So I'm not sure if he was stereotypical. Maybe he was.
Was the book written by a straight person?
Let me see. How to Be Gay.
That would be
David,
a wonderful project, wouldn't it?
That's a risky Google.
How to Be Gay.
Is an American theorist in the fields of gender studies, queer theory, critical theory, material culture, and visual culture. Well, it doesn't say that he is gay.
Oh, is it an eye-catching title to sell a book about?
You've got to be gay if you're writing a book called that.
You'd hope so.
There's also another book called 100 Years of Homosexuality.
Okay.
Only 100?
Only 100, yes.
Which 100?
The first 100.
It's just...
Wow.
Well...
It's just a really intense history of Athens.
Can I say my gripes with the film?
Yes, please.
I think it's time.
Lovely. I thought it was a real misstep to have him watch her in the bath, and it would have been a much better story if he had just been unsure and decided not to care.
Yep.
And I read that was the plan originally.
No way.
And they'd filmed it that way. So literally the scene when he's like, you know, I don't care.
Yeah, says whatever. I don't care if you're a man.
Yes. And then she says, I'm not a man. And he said, I don't care anyway.
I don't care if you are a man.
I'm not a man.
I still don't care.
That was original, and then the director said he chickened out so that he
boo.
Would have boo. So that did tick me off because it really, I mean, I know it's the 1980s, but men who creep up like stalk and are so obsessed with finding out if someone was a woman or a man that they would spy on them in the bath is not an endearing character trait to me.
Yeah.
I just struggled with King Marchand. I didn't really see that he had many redeeming features.
He didn't. I thought he was dreadful.
Yes. And his one redeeming feature is that he voiced one of the characters in Disney's Atlantis, and that's all he's got going for him.
I like him even less.
Yeah, and then because of the kind of that, the end where she gives up being Victor to be with him, and I thought, oh, what a waste.
Yeah.
What a waste of her well fought, hard won autonomy, and you know, she loves doing it, and now she's giving it up for no good reason.
For love. Is that not a good
He's
reason?
He's only going to let her down. No. Throw off the shackles of...
Oh, of the patriarchy.
The patriarchy, yes.
But not literally. Continue to wear the clothes of the patriarchy.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah. No, it's dependent on that.
So I half agree with you on both of those gripes.
Okay.
It was, it lost a lot of impact. Him doing this, where he says, I don't care if you are a man. It in the context of him having Spider-Man in the bath, it just felt like it. I read that as him kind of trying to say something romantic without actually having to change his mind on anything. At the same time, I think it's okay to have a hateable character in a film, and he was just dreadful. And I didn't get why Victoria was into him, but I quite liked their conversation where she said, like, I find him to be arrogant and rude, and I would very much like to have an affair with him.
Yeah.
That just captures something quite funny about Victoria as a kind of, I don't know what, bad girl who just does what she feels like.
I took it the opposite way, which is kind of her naivety that she wanted to be. She wanted to be that.
Oh, how do you mean?
I mean that it came out in a kind of innocent. I just everything Julie Andrews says sounds so innocent. You know, there was nothing seedy or saucy or sexy about it. It was just cute.
But as you just say, have an affair with him. Yeah. Like there was no sort of, oh, I think I'm falling in love with him. he seems like he'd be great in bed. And that was kind of fun. And they I thought they developed him quite well as a sort of likable asshole with him. So just so like aggressively and small-mindedly objecting to any implication that he might be gay, and creeping, spying on her, sneaking into her room, and at the end when he gives it up, his solution, to make himself feel like a man, he just goes to a bar and picks a fight with anyone he can and gets the shit beaten out of him.
Milk.
Cow's milk, monsieur, or mother's milk.
How about your sisters?
Oh, shit.
Because that's what men do. And I thought it was quite fun seeing him just utterly fail to grow or learn anything. With the only sting in it being that I wasn't satisfied with Victoria choosing to be with him.
Same.
But that's why I only half agree with you on that, because I remember thinking consciously, and maybe during the Crazy World song, I really hope this ends with her staying as Victor. I don't want her to come clean and confess to the world. I want her to stay like this. It felt like she was sort of saying that she felt more at home being Victor than being Victoria or something. But that wasn't quite right. And so that the other part of it is she was deciding to be honest at the end. She was living a lie, and she decided to sort of come clean and say who she was. And I thought that was more powerful because of the ding, ding, ding symbolism that I want to talk about.
Fantastic.
Anyone else first?
No, no, please. Unless, don't let me speak for everyone. But
anyone?
Go for it.
Yeah,
I agree.
Her pretending to be a man was a person being in the closet. The whole thing was about being gay, and she was just about the one character in it that wasn't. But I thought the way she was living through that seemed like they were trying to draw a parallel between her life and the life of a closeted gay person. This way she was constantly trying to pretend to be something she's not, like someone trying to be, you know, pretending to be straight, and there only being these small places where you can actually be who you want to be. And one of the ways for her was being a performer, where she played a woman, which is what she really was. I couldn't untangle every part of that, but it, especially with the Crazy World song, it felt like that was the parallel that was there, and that's why it made it more satisfying that she came out at the end. Just a thought.
I agree with, yes, I agree with you. Yes, now that I'm thinking about it, that seems quite obvious. I didn't pick up on it, but
yeah,
I'm not sure it makes it more satisfying at the end.
It makes it more acceptable. It gives me a reason to, to root for her to come out.
I see.
And admit that she's a woman, which other than that parallel, I didn't want that to happen at all. I wanted her to be Victor forever. If they'd made this film maybe 30 years later, I would wonder if it was saying something about transgender identity. I think that was maybe just not something people thought about. I don't think that's what the film was about.
No, I think it was just playing with gender.
But I think it was very much tied to homosexuality, and obviously the whole thing, you know, every other line in the film was about homosexuality. And that was closely tied to drag queens.
Yes.
That's my thought.
That's your symbol. All right, let's go around.
That's my symbol. Anyone else got symbols?
No, that was a good one. Yeah.
Does anyone disagree with me? Want to fight about it?
She jumps out of a closet at one point.
She does literally jump out.
Yes.
For the first time, sort of embodying the man.
Yeah, that's correct. I thought about it when she got into the closet. I thought, oh, she's in the closet, and now she's coming out of the closet. Yeah, that was great. And what a brilliant moment as well, just to punch him in the face. And I really didn't think that later in the film she'd punch him in the face again. Oh, but she did.
Was there anyone unexpected coded as gay, Laura?
King.
It's harder with films where there are. King, yeah. Oh, you know, we could talk about it. Methinks he doth protest too much.
Definitely. Julie Andrews mentions this, right, when they're having their sort of hot banter near the start when they've first been introduced.
But you're not 100% sure.
Practically.
Ah, but to a man like you, someone who believes he could never, under any circumstances, find another man attractive, the margin between practically and for sure must be as wide as the Grand Canyon.
If you were a man, I'd knock your block off.
And prove that you're a man.
That's the woman's argument.
Your problem, Mr. Marchand, is that you're preoccupied with stereotypes. I think it's as simple as you're one kind of man, I'm another.
And what kind are you?
One that doesn't have to prove it. To myself or anyone. Excuse me.
she says, I'm a different kind of man. I'm the sort of man who doesn't have to prove it to anyone. Mm. As if to say, you're just so desperate to have everyone think you're a man.
Yeah.
Or to think you're straight, I guess. Yeah, I loved that.
Willing to go and get beaten up to convince himself he's a man.
Mm. Oh, yeah, come on.
Followed by all the
hot, sweaty men.
All the exactly. Cuddly drinking together later.
Yeah.
Very suspicious.
Classic. Yeah, he's definitely releasing his pent-up gayness.
For sure.
Can I mention that I thought that he was an actual king for a good long while until they started talking about gangsters and I was confused. Oh, and I don't know if they mentioned it. Like, did they say like this gangster's coming to town, or did they say
something near the start?
They say he's a nightclub owner from Chicago. He's the biggest nightclub owner in Chicago.
I missed that because I was eating my tea at the beginning and I tend to miss things when I'm shuffling past as fast as possible. So yeah, I thought for a good long while, and I liked him a lot more when he was a king for some reason, which is odd because normally warmed to the monarchy, but it sort of gave him a license to be cheeky. But then I learned he was a seedy gangster. I was like, yeah. Oh, get away from him, Julie.
Yeah, I couldn't quite like him.
I didn't mind him. I liked that he did go dancing with her. You know, that was something.
He was so uncomfortable for the whole of it. Oh, and again, she played that with such tenderness. Mm. Again, made me think about this being someone. It was brilliant film of reversals, wasn't it? Because she was the only person there that wasn't a gay man. They were the only people there who were in a heterosexual relationship. And yet they were the two that had a secret.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But in a way, she could. That was the place that she could dance with him. That's where she could choose to be who she wanted to be openly in just one way, which again made me want her to be Victor forever.
Yeah. She was so compelling as Victor, like you said. It was just.
I don't know why either. Could you put your finger on what she did that was so good?
No.
I just wanted to watch her forever.
Yeah, me too. I was trying to figure it out if I would believe, if someone presented this man to me, if I would immediately be like, I wouldn't question that it was a man. Like, they all just took her as a man. And I was trying to think. I was like, because I know it's Julie Andrews, it's very difficult to see well, past.
So she was always made up. Like, she always had some feminine makeup on.
Mm.
So it was always clear to the audience that this was Victoria pretending to be Victor.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever got a fair test of whether we could be convinced.
Hmm. And she had to play a man who was a great drag queen, didn't she?
Yeah.
So stuff like her eye makeup, I think, made her look like more of a sort of glamorous star without the costume on and not just look like a straightforward man. But yeah, I was thinking about that a lot and I didn't think I could possibly have been convinced.
I thought I could have been.
Right.
Mm.
I guess there's just no way we could test it, is there? We need to find someone who'd never heard of Julie Andrews. So we'd have to just play them the film from like a quarter of the way through.
I mean, you'd just have to show them that she had short hair. That's the real...
Yes. Yeah, so that seemed to be the... that was how they communicated it on screen, didn't they? It was nice to see... I was going to say older characters. Yeah, several of the older characters. Victoria and Toddy, both much older than you would normally get from a musical like that. I mean, Victoria, Julie Andrews was, I think, 46 in this.
Really? Oh, man.
And she played it with a certain maturity that was great to see. And I don't know if it was because she was... Because you just don't get that in films. It's particularly for women, it's so rare for even middle-aged women to get big roles. which is a scandal, really. But it's, I don't know if it was more possible because she was trying to fit in as a man, but she had, you know, passionate sexual relationships and stuff, and it could have been a film about someone 20 or almost 30 years younger without really messing anything up.
Yeah, I mean, it worked well because she was meant to be this faded opera singer who's been put out to pasture because she's aged.
Was that part
with
of
a minor
it?
Tweak? Well, that's how I took it.
Yeah.
I just thought she was significantly younger than that.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought she was a failed opera singer, someone who'd come to Paris to make her fortune and never quite made it.
That was what I thought.
Maybe that was it.
But not someone who'd been through a career and was on the way out or anything like that. Never quite got her break.
I see.
Sort of 5 or 10 years into trying. That's strange, isn't it? But I mean, yeah, if she was 46, she's so good looking for someone 46.
She's a very good looking woman.
Mm. Yeah, she's still very good looking, to be fair.
I could believe she was, she's aged wonderfully, Julie Andrews. She's great. This felt like an important missing link, though. I could see her, and I could see that she was Maria von Trapp, but I could also see that she was the queen from The Princess Diaries. and that those two roles, they were very different, and you couldn't easily tell it was the same actress, but this, you could see both of them, and that's quite good. Like, I'm still searching for that missing Sean Connery film. Robin and Marion.
The one.
I can't wait. I'm leaving it to you to pick that one.
You might be waiting a while.
I think I can wait.
Is this really made for TV?
Surely not. Oh no, you've gone to the Wikipedia page I went to recently. This was made as a film, but they made a stage show of it 13 years later, and then they filmed that to make a film in 1995.
Right.
So that was when Julie Andrews was 60 or more. She was in this on the stage.
Yeah. I suppose it works as an older woman pretending to be a younger man, doesn't it? Because your voice is deeper.
Yeah, it feels right somehow.
The right.
Oh, tangent, but relatedly, I just went to see a production of Sunset Song at the Rep that had gender, race and age blind casting. So there was an old woman playing a young man.
Ooh.
I thoroughly recommend it.
Well, was it... Did it keep it together?
Oh, somehow it just worked.
Okay. It feels like you can get away with maybe one of those, and it's a commentary.
If you do
all of them, it's just like, I can't remember who anyone is.
There was a character called Aunt Janet who was played by a young man with a mustache.
Okay.
It was thrilling.
Theatre's difficult, isn't it?
It was set in like 1911 and they had Adidas tops on. It was fantastic.
God. I'm not going to go and see that.
That sounds like hell. That was the only thing that they didn't do. Well, no, they had some more stuff. It was great, though. I really recommend it. Thoroughly compelling.
Oh, well.
People were playing rocks. People were playing trees. It was just fantastic.
It's a shame about theatre, isn't it?
I can't. I know what you mean, because I don't like those productions either. You know, where they're all in tank tops.
Oh, they're all in tank tops. We dodged that one, didn't we?
Yeah. I normally hate those things, but they did this really tastefully and really well.
Okay.
If you get the chance to go and see Sunset Song, it's Rep, do, because it was really good.
Okay. I've never been to the Rep. I should go sometime.
It's nice. anyway, sorry, what were we talking about?
Yes, she was in this on the stage all those years later, and was replaced for a short time by Liza Minnelli.
I can see that working.
Apparently, And it was her last singing performance. Do you know she had this thing with her throat?
Mm. No, I didn't know this. But...
It's quite a sad story in a way. She developed vocal problems, so she was a little older, and apparently, I mean, I can imagine this was quite a demanding show.
Mm.
Yeah, when she's 60 and she's performing this sort of one or two times a day on the stage. And yeah, she was having soreness and trouble, and spoke to a surgeon about it, who identified what they called non-cancerous nodules on her throat. So said we can do some surgery to remove that, and removed them, and just wrecked her singing voice.
Oh no!
And her speaking voice. It was a lot of additional surgeries with a different surgeon that got her back to having a normal speaking voice. She was terribly raspy and stuff for a while, but she just was never able to sing again. This is someone who had a 4-octave range, one of the greatest singers Broadway had seen. But that had happened. She sued the surgeon for $8 million.
Really? Oh my God.
And she said in interviews later, she doesn't believe that there was ever anything like operable on her throat. Other doctors have told her it was it's basically just strain, and that she needed to rest to recover.
Oh, wow.
So that's why you don't see her in any singing performances. Wow. Since that. So that was 95 or 96 or something.
Oh, how sad. It's like Celine Dion. Yeah. She's got a throat problem.
Really?
Sing anymore.
Yeah. I guess they...
It's called stiff person syndrome.
Stiff person syndrome.
Sounds made up.
I don't know much about Celine Dion.
I read about it in The Guardian this morning, but maybe The Guardian isn't always reliable.
Maybe not. I'll check The Guardian later. 10 signs your cat might be gay.
Answer these tests and questions, and we'll tell you what pizza topping you are.
Sorry. So, any other thoughts about the film then? I've only got notes now.
One potential criticism, which I'm not sure about, because it was a great film and I really enjoyed it. And sure. But I suppose it was a bit of a soul problem. You know the Disney film Soul.
Yeah, which I haven't seen.
People argued that for the first, one of the relatively early Disney stories that tries to capture a sort of black experience, black story. But for the majority of the film, the actual black character is trapped in the body of a cat.
Okay.
There's something similar about a film that is about drag culture. Yeah. So about a film that's about drag culture, but the main character is a straight woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It would have been, I suppose, not that many films about that, and it had to. Of course, it was about a straight woman who was in drag. But I personally don't take put much stock in those arguments.
You can ask for too much.
It's a structural problem that there aren't any drag films. It's not the fault of the film, I suppose, which is telling a good story. So, and it was good that they included quite a lot of, genuine drag acts and characters.
Mm.
Not main, they didn't have a speaking role, but, they were there. That's something.
Yes. So I think I agree with you that this is one film, and it was a good film, and it did something about, it had more to do with drag culture than most films, I say. But there's a... what am I trying to say? There's a feel to that argument that I did feel, which was like, I wanted her to turn out to be a lesbian.
Yeah.
Or I wanted her to turn out to be, I guess, a trans man, or to I wanted her to become a man somehow. I wanted her to be part of that world, truly a part of it, and not an imposter. And I was sad that she abandoned it. I don't know.
She could have had a successful show as Victoria, Victor, Victoria. She'd just come out to everyone.
Yeah. What happened next?
I think she just lived with King.
Yeah, but she can't have lived with him forever. Like,
I know. What a
they were having a fun fling.
Bad long term plan.
Yeah, what was going on there? And was it like at the end of that she stood up and everyone saw her? Or what happened there? Were there recriminations? It seemed like maybe the film was saying it doesn't matter. But she was definitely revealing herself to be a woman at the end. But we never just saw this fun bit with Toddy at the end, and that was it. Was that satisfying?
It's certainly surprising.
Maybe you can help me deal with this reservation about the film as well. She was having fun dressing up as Victor being Victoria. Is that okay to just, like, for her to live this life as a lie because it's fun?
Yes.
Is that all right? Because for some people that's a really difficult part of their identity that they have to fight really hard to be able to just live like who they are, to just be them. And she's all like, oh, I want to have fun pretending to be a man. Is that sort of diminishing that struggle for people? I don't know. I'm not sure.
Like, being a drag queen is a difficult profession and she's cheating at it.
No, like, being transgender is awful and difficult and convincing.
Yeah, or the marginalised communities, you're essentially just donning it as, like, a costume for a while.
And she wants to keep doing it because she's having fun, not because she identifies as Victor, just because it's fun pretending to be a man.
But then there's an intersectional argument to be made as well, that she is the marginalised community and she's getting to be part of the dominant sort of, you know, she's a woman pretending to be a man. Like, if you removed the oppression of, you know, gay men and transgender people, then it would be not, yeah.
Yeah, okay, this wasn't plan A for her. This was the absolute last thing she did in the throes of poverty to try and make ends meet.
But then she had plenty of chances to stop doing that. Yeah. She wasn't going to go back to a life of poverty by moving to America and living as a woman.
Yeah. And I think we were meant to take the conclusion being that she did the right thing in the end by giving up on it, and that really she was living a lie. And so I think, what you're saying there was what you're meant to think. It's just not how I felt.
I don't think that's what the film was wanting you to think. I think the film was wanting you to think, well, that's nice, she's settled down now with a man, like a good, obedient woman. And she's had her bit of fun.
But she always had the choices, and she could have said, no, actually, I'm going to stay as a man. So she did have, and she did make a choice to go back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did.
I wanted her to make a different choice, though. did you want her to give up the illusion, Fernando?
No. Wait, yes. I didn't want her to go back to being a woman. I just thought that she was just a little uncomfortable being a man. As in, she was enjoying it, but she was also, that was just my impression. That maybe she was just slightly uncomfortable. And I can see, as in, it's definitely understandable why she would be uncomfortable. And it would be uncomfortable because she was not a man. I think that you should be yourself, and that for her meant being a woman.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to, isn't it? I think it's like at the end of the Jungle Book where Mowgli goes back to the man village. I never wanted him to as a kid, and I think it was meant to be the grown-up story, and that this is a fun story for kids, but that the kids need to learn something, and they need to learn that you can't hide from who you really are, and you need to you need to be real. But it always felt like he was giving up so much, and it felt like he was conforming when he didn't need to. And it felt like that for me here. I wanted her to to go on breaking the rules.
Well, maybe Mowgli was giving up even more by not being with the humans.
Mm.
Yeah, so I think that's what we're meant to think, right? Like, the very first thing was that he was able to fall in love. And that's something that would never have happened out in the jungle, and that it was better for him. I just can hardly feel that Victoria will be better with King.
Yeah.
Is she going to stop sharing the bed with Toddy? I loved that.
They really looked after each other.
Yeah.
He looked after her. I'm not sure she looked after him, to be honest.
She sternly sent him to bed, didn't she?
Yes. That's why she was bringing quite a lot of money as well.
Yes. Oh, and she loved him as well. And that was, he needed love. We saw that right at the start. We had this thing. I thought it was going to be like prick up your ears, and this that we were going to see a lot more of Toddy's like rent boy, and this sort of callous relation, the transactional relationship that they had, and he was so much taken care of so much better by Victoria, though of course he wasn't gonna, she couldn't be like his girlfriend, like they both would always have wanted to be with other people. I'm glad it made you all think thoughts as well. I was worried that it might just not click with any of you, and you might have just been bored.
No, certainly was never bored.
That's good. I mean, I got a little bored in some bits with the that. For all we're talking about these sort of interpersonal things, there were quite a lot of bits that were just sort of farce. How many scenes was there a sort of escalating tension? And then just 100 people all fighting and the main characters run out. That must have happened like 6 times. Just so many of these colossal fights. There's the one where Toddy provokes someone in the nightclub. There was the one in the restaurant with the cockroach. There's the one in the bar where he goes to get himself beaten up. There's
the second time in the nightclub.
Yeah.
The second time in the nightclub.
From you.
Yeah.
Yes, you and me. Mm-hmm. They're just. It felt like a sort of recurring joke that just maybe saying something about Paris. I don't know. But I always found it quite funny. I was like, oh, this is happening again, is it?
Well, they leaned into it, didn't they? Because they had the bar owner sitting at the bar with the broken tables and everything all sitting behind them.
I really enjoyed that joke when he says to the private investigator, be careful. And the private investigator's like, I'm always careful. Like, oh, that's useless.
Oh, yeah. You see, there was a lot of that, wasn't there? Just this sort of fairly dumb slapstick.
Like the boys getting stuck in the balcony in the snow.
Yeah.
I could have done without that whole
funny, but do we really need it?
Cut. Yeah. It's a real shame about that bad scene.
Yes. It's like there are two different directors that had very different visions for the film. One wanted it to be like a really close character study, and one of them wanted it to be a Carry On film or a Charlie Chaplin film or something. So, and then this is why I had these reservations about it, but I just couldn't take my eyes off her.
Yeah.
Norma, I mean.
I'm horny.
Oh.
I'm horny.
That was the first time. I think that was the first time I just burst out laughing at her. She was just such a terrible line.
So annoying.
And she played it so well.
She reminded me of what's her name in Singing in the Rain.
Yes, I thought of that a couple of times. Lena. And I can't stand them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of plays the same kind of role, right? The sort of jealous, other woman.
Yeah. Who did you think was the best looking, Fernando?
I just don't. Well, probably Victoria.
Fair. Yeah.
Yeah, it has to be. Is there anyone else?
Sometimes I'm surprised by who you all find attractive.
Are we going to cast ourselves in this film? Because this could get bloody.
Can I be king? Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
I was so hoping you'd be Toddy.
Oh, I can be Toddy.
Stereotyping, just, Michael.
Oh, just this wonderful...
The patriarch.
Everyone loves Toddy, and he's just effortlessly in charge. Everyone...
He's a gentle soul.
A gentle soul, yeah.
Avuncular.
Avuncular, exactly.
I'm going to use a dictionary.
Laura, who are you?
I think Norma, but I don't think of anyone else.
You ever feel like Victoria?
Oh, maybe.
I can see you as Victoria.
I give you permission to say that you're the wonderful person. I would never
compare
person.
Myself to Julie Andrews, for God's sake.
I think
you're more on the Norma.
You're definitely not Norma. I don't see you as Norma.
Yeah, you're a...
Can I be Toddy?
You're a thinker.
No, I'm already Toddy.
Yeah, okay, yeah, Fernando's Toddy. You're going to have to be Victoria.
Right.
I can see the two of you sharing a bed and singing Home on the Range with your own lyrics.
Oh, give me a home
where the buffalo roam and the deer and the antelope are gay. Where seldom is heard a discouraging word.
Obviously a music lover.
I think I might be the waiter that can't work out where he recognises Victor from.
Excellent.
Utterly wise to bullshit at the beginning.
Put upon waiter who's just trying to get through the day. I think this is leaving me as king, right?
I wanted to be king, but fine, you want to be king.
I do feel like king sometimes. Just his sort of not quite knowing what he's doing and just not really knowing who he is and what, yeah. There was just something about he felt like he was the only one that wasn't mad. And I feel like that sometimes, and I think it's because I'm an arsehole maybe, but just, I can't quite say what it was, just so many of his, when you saw his face in so many shots and he was like, what's going on? And I feel like that.
Interesting.
Excellent question. That was a good one to cast ourselves in. What was the connection to the last film?
What was the last film?
I'll have to dig out my diary from 3 years ago. Modern Times.
Oh.
Slapstick, I guess.
Cool Moustaches.
Cool Moustaches, yep.
King had a very pencil-y moustache.
Yes.
Oh, the dance number that ends in pandemonium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one. Oddly compelling female characters that we can't quite say why.
Yes.
Couple wandering off into the sunset with an unknown future ahead of them.
Indeed.
Yeah. Oh, shaky future in this case. Maybe in both cases.
Maybe in both. Oh, they were stealing food as well.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah, that's good.
It was all a metaphor for communism.
Perfect.
Nobody was gay.
Everybody was gay.
That's what you could sum up this film club as. The main things we see.
Yeah, so I was glad we didn't have to wait till three quarters of the way through before we decide who's gay. This one was pretty clear.
Except for King. Yeah.
Except for King, who was conflicted. No more thoughts from me?
I'm done. Okay. I'm done.
I'm also done.
Ready?
Beautiful.
I accidentally played the last half by accident.
Yeah, it sort of works. Play the first half to start with and the second half at the end.
Yeah.
And wasn't it perfect? Just lowering the key just a little bit.
Oh, we should start doing that.
Very, very suitable for this film as well.
Lovely.
We're all back in the hat.
We're all back in the hat. If it's not me, I'm going to kill myself.
That is bad. I'm because there's a 1 in 4 chance.
I had a film for so long. It's the only time I've never been able to hold on to my films. Like I always forget them and then get conflicted and then start picking new things. But I've had this one in mind for ages and ages and ages.
Yeah.
And I think we should just let me pick it. New rule. We should have once a year we get to assert that it's our turn.
Laura, have we talked about making up film club rules just so that you can have your way?
Okay, I'm happy to proceed.
Cool. 3, 2, 1.
Rock. Paper. Damn it.
Remember. Don't worry, Laura, you'll get your chance, Laura.
I'm invoking my new rule. Override.
One, two, three, go.
Paper. Rock. Damn.
Oh, wow.
Cool. Well, that's Fernando and Claire.
Mm.
3, 2, 1.
Paper. Scissors.
Ah, Fernando, it's yours.
Wow. Okay. Well, as in, given that I did not have a film and I'm just choosing out of, I guess, a panic, A Place Near Heaven.
Ooh.
Okay.
Okay. Interesting.